that you will not be able to do that. The second one is that looking at the minutes, the fact that there were some areas that were not covered properly, particularly around the decision or recommendation of the committee. So we will work on that and then bring that in the next meeting. It's not a huge problem, but we think that it's required to be properly presented or presentable. So we'll bring those minutes in the next meeting. Those are the two issues that we think we will require to deal with at this stage. But on another note, I think it's important that as we move this discussion in relation to the presentations to make, to note that last Friday we received reports that two suspects were arrested in Unity Park, House of Estate, with approximately, now at least I was there in court, with approximately 255 million rands worth of illegal gold and about 2,000 IDs of deceased individuals. Leonard Fraser, they always say the matter remains subjugated. I can confirm though, because that's not it, we're not dealing with the man, that the first suspect has been released on bail of 20,000 with strict conditions, which is amongst others the fact that she's not allowed to go out of the country without out of the province of Gauteng without the permission or notification of the investigating officer. She has to submit all the traveling documents, if we say so, to the investigating officer. She will have to report at the Captain Park Police Station twice a week, which is Monday 6 to 6 and Friday 6 to 6. Those are just few of them, or she can apply for any traveling documents during this time period. So that is the second suspect, what do you call it? Accused number one, yeah. Accused number one was not granted bail because of some investigations that needed to be done, including as what we told, among others, a case that you might be having in the Northwest, which relates to non-appearance court. They're still going to investigate that. So the hearing is going to take place this coming Friday, the bail application. I think committee was confused with this challenge of illegal mining. But what is most important is hopefully, which seems to be also the focal point, what was interesting in the case is that this is only what happened between 2010 and 2012. It's not a period of 3 years, that 255. So investigation only for 3 years, it should tell you what could be beyond 3 years that we might be dealing with. So it actually says there's hopefully something that we can reveal that there could be markets that relates to the issue of illegal mining that we have always been grappling. Obviously, I think it will be prejudicial to enter a conclusion. It's just a case. So no one should be treated as if guilty. At this stage, there is no such investment that has been made, but we hope this will start to assist us to treat this issue, and probably our courts will find a way to deal with this issue quite effectively. And I think we should encourage and appreciate what the law enforcement have done so far. So I think it's important just to share with the issue. We won't go to the actual merits and demerits of the case, because that's what are going to be presented in front of the magistrates or the judge that will deal with that. I think it's just one of these cases that they should continue to encourage us. And hopefully, you know, I was joking, I think it's important just to call the two South Africans that have won the Comrades Marathon, which is a gay history in the AG. And I was joking to some people, and I said, I hope hosting the Comrades Marathon will not be investigated by the FBI. And why South Africa hosted. But I think as South Africans, we should get ourselves a bit back, because it's one of the achievements that this country should pride itself on. And I think our sports persons have really made us proud, and we should congratulate them. And lastly, we're told that the Minister of Sports will be having a midday press conference. We look with keen interest what we think is going to emerge after the FIFA saga. And unfortunately, we seem also to be just inside the, not even in the frying pan, just inside the fire itself. And hopefully, this on its own will find a solution. With now the announcement of the resignation of the FIFA president, who was elected less than a week ago, and now is off the chair, looking at something else. So hope that this also we will be able to find a quick solution on the matter. I think on that note, honorable members, in terms of the agenda that we're having, we've got the apologies, the presentation by both the committee advisor and the searcher. As well as the content search committee, content advisor. And then we then have a presentation by the department, and then we'll deal with questions of clarity as well as discussion. And after that, we'll have announcements that we'll make, and we'll adjourn the committee. Is there any member who would want to move the adoption of the program for today? Welcome, Honorable Machado.
Thank you, Honorable Machado.
No, I'm asking, not what to do. Otherwise, we'll sit here and wait.
I just want to move on the adoption of this agenda for today. Thank you.
Apologies.
Good morning, members and the guests. I'm going to read only the apologies from the members. I've got an apology from Honorable Malema, Advocate Schmidt, Bosi Mandela, and Mr. Draft. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome, Honorable Mafola. Your presence is well appreciated. Can we allow the chair? Honorable Mata,
can we get the reasons for this honorable members not honoring this mission? Because you were just saying this is an apology. Are you not encouraging some of us to do the same? Because in my view, there must be some serious reasons why are you not honoring this meeting. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Mason.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Honorable Mazala is out of order for the first time. I disagree with it. There's never been precedent where the apologies, they were written in action. Can you please approve that?
Let's avoid dialogue. Okay, I think let's agree. We will look at that, but generally this is the common practice in this matter, the common practice. We will check legal, but it is the common practice that members, they make apologies on their non-availability. It's then up to them to then give reasons why they are not in the meeting. But primarily, also, your absence in the committee will also lie with your party. Primarily, I'm not saying not in the committee, but primarily, because we always admit the apologies, who's present, who's not present. But I think let's take the notes, the apologies. Can you allow the calling advisor and the researcher, Dr. Nichols, and Mr. Bayan. Why is your name?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, TV. And yes, we're going to present a very brief background to the issue which is to be considered by the meeting, which is the concerning drug cuts which have been announced or spoken of in the mining industry in recent weeks. I'm going to deal firstly with the number of people who work in mining and the latest trend in employment and the mitigation measures which are in place to deal with the job losses. And then my colleague, Mr. Kriyama, will deal with the economic context and the outlook for jobs in the gold industry in the future. When we look at the number of people who work in mining, we need to bear in mind the significant changes that have taken place and which are illustrated in the graph since 1994. If you look at 1994, most of the employment in the industry was in gold, which is a gold band in the middle. And since 1994, there's been a progressive decline in the number of gold workers as a result of economic forces on the industry and also as a result of the very old the age of the gold mines and the difficulties of operating at the great depth which the mines now are operating. So the declining trend in the gold industry is it's a historical trend that we need to live with and adapt to. As you can see there, the number of employees in the mining industry fell to a low point of about 400,000 in the year 2000. That is a halving of the number of people who were working in the industry in 1988. But the industry suffered drastic job cuts between 1988 and 2000. Since 2000, there's been a recovery of about 100,000 jobs to close to 500,000. by 2012. And since then, because of the difficulties of the economic situation, there's been a falling off in the number of mine employees. One thing, Mr. Groff, does illustrate, however, is the increasing diversity of the mining industry. The growth of the platinum employment at the bottom of the graph in particular, and then also the increasing number of people who are working in coal and in other metals, including iron ore. The number of people isn't great there. The amount of output has been incredible. The latest trends of employment are a decline for the industry as a whole. The industry as a whole in between January and December 2014 declined by 1%, by about 7,000 jobs overall. The major losses were in the gold sector. About 5,500 people lost their jobs in gold, and 1,000 lost their jobs in platinum. So that is the order of the changes in the mine employment. Recent announcements by the mining industry include four mines, which I'll mention here. The first is Lonmin, which announced a possible job cut of 10% of their labour force from 35,000 to 3,500 jobs. This is still under discussion, but it is a consequence of the enormous fall in the platinum price. Platinum price has fallen by about 35% since 2012. And so there have been enormous pressures on the platinum industry, which the platinum industry has spoken to the committee about in the past. And the discussions on restructuring are ongoing, both in London and in Anglo-American Platinum, where a very large number of jobs were scheduled for cutting at the end of 2013, but after discussions, that has possibly been avoided to some extent. The major job losses expected, however, continue to be in the gold sector. Harmony Gold has announced a restructuring of their Doornkop and Massimong mines recently. 400 jobs will be lost in the Massimong mine. And at Doornkop, they are discussing the options for the continued operation of a very old mine. Whether this is part of the strategy of the chamber around the wage negotiations, trying to soften up the union for a lower wage increase, I'll leave you to decide. But there is a serious discussion on the table about cutting jobs at that mine. Following nationalization at Kusasalethu earlier this year, which led to 1,271 jobs being lost. In Sibanye, again, a company that has a lot of very old mines, but employs a lot of people, over 36,000, 430 jobs were lost earlier this year, and as with all of the gold mining companies, there are threats to employment levels which are ongoing. When it comes to mitigating impacts of job losses, it's always stressing to have to deal with job losses. It also undercuts the predicted increases in mine employment, which are part of the National Development Plan. But mining is always prone to fluctuations, and the gold industry, because of its age, is by necessity on a path of employment contraction. It's most important, however, members, to note that the mining industry has a tradition of negotiation around economic realities, which dates back over 20 years, and that Parliament has put in place very strong provisions in the law around mining and labour relations in mining through the Labour Relations Act, which provides general support or background for all workers, and through the MPRDA. So there is a legal support for the structure of negotiation within the industry to allow the employers and the workers to discuss matters and hopefully to reach an accommodation. It's a tradition in the industry which has gone on for a long time, and in many cases it has been resolved in a positive manner, in as positive a manner as possible, given economic circumstances. Under the MPRDA, it's most important that every single one of the mines has to have in place a social and labour plan. And part of that social and labour plan is to involve the workers in what is called a future forum, which will discuss the future of the mine. So that when mines have to downscale rather than expand, this is an issue which is under common discussion within the mine. And the social and labour plan has to provide for managing and for sharing the burdens of downscaling and retrenchment, just as it has to provide for mechanisms to share the mineral wealth when mines are more profitable. So I suppose the positive aspect is that the retrenchments are regrettable, but they are, if you like, they're written on the wall that this is part of a trend within the industry. And there are opportunities by negotiating on productivity issues, on wages, on technology, to mitigate the effects of this. I'll now hand over to my colleague, Mr. Priyama, to speak about the economic background.
I'll basically touch on two issues. The first issue, I will give the economic context to the current crisis that we are having, and I will conclude by giving the outlook, with special reference to the gold mining. It is important to currently realize that the world economy is still recovering from the 2008 global recession. This can be compared to a patient who has just come out of the theater and is drifting in and out of consciousness. As we know, the GDP growth from last year was 3.4%. This is the world gross domestic product growth. And according to the IMF, GDP growth for this year is expected to be 3.5%, which is a marginal increase. Then, if we look at the quarterly growth for the first quarter of 2015, we have seen that our trading partners are having a difficult time. For example, China, the GDP growth for the first quarter was only 7%. This is very low compared to what China has been achieving historically. China has been growing at double digits. EU growth is showing some marginal improvement at only 0.4% in the first quarter. And when it comes to the United States, it's even worse because their GDP growth for the first quarter is actually decreased. So we can see from the picture that the growth in our major trading partners is definitely not convincing and does not occur well for the outlook of the mining industry. And when we come to look at the outlook for jobs in the mining industry, we will use both the Purchasing Managers Index as well as the economic growth to gauge the impact and what we should expect to happen in the industry, given those indicators. During the first quarter, maybe I should start by explaining briefly what is the Purchasing Managers Index. It is an index that is used to measure economic activity in the economy. So at 50, anything above 50 means the economic activity that the economy is increasing. And anything below 50, it means that the economic activity in that country is contracting. So as you can see, in China they had a PMI of 50, and it has been stuck at 50 for some time in April. The EU, they had 52, which reflected some growth. And with regard to the US only had 51 rating of the PMI. Then Moody's, the rating agency, they released a report recently that said there are two conditions that have to be met for the mining industry to start growing in a manner that will sustain and increase the number of jobs. The first condition is that the PMI for China, the EU, and the US has to grow at a minimum of 55. It has to be 55 or more. And the second condition is that the growth forecast by the IMF must be at least 4%, the world economic growth forecast. So as we have seen, the growth forecast currently by the IMF is 3.5. And the PMI reading for all the three major economies and our major trading partners is below the required 55. Hence, given the current conditions, labor market in the industry is expected to remain tight, and the best case scenario is for the current number of jobs to be sustained. Then lastly, the Chamber of Mines released these three scenarios for the gold mining industry in terms of jobs, where they say, at any rate, as my colleague has explained at the beginning of the presentation, that jobs in the mining industry are expected to decrease. But given in the best case scenario, those are the rates that we are going to realize. But if the worst case scenarios materialize, the fall in the number of jobs is going to be more pronounced in the gold sector. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Could I just make one point, which is that there is a need to try and replace the employment which is lost in the gold mines by new investments in other mines, and also by promoting exploration in the industry. And those two things which are within the capacity of the industry to achieve with the right conditions. Okay.
Can you help us, ma'am, with the door, please? That light from the
chat. I'll be very happy if you have prepared a slide there, the last slide, because in the presentation it's not there.
The one that
the last one.
Dr. Nicole was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, the last slide. They've heard us. They've heard us. Not as you. They have this. They've heard us.
On behalf of you.
Did you?
Thank you.
I had your message.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Firstly, I would like to apologize for the Minister and also the Deputy Minister who could not be with us today due to other matters which we had to address to. We have a presentation which we have put together. The outline of the presentation captured there. We thought we'll also touch on the status, and I think Dr. Nicole has already touched a little bit on this. We also just go through that and discuss initiatives which are there to address socio-economic conditions of human workers, and also look at the whole issue of job development. When it comes to the whole issue of jobs, I think we need to look at this in the context of saying it's something which started in 1994. And the employment in the industry at some point of 829,000. And as the decline was going on, the government introduced the MTR. all know about. And that APRD will